Hello. I'm Yehiyas Wuhiba, your host for today's special edition of Straight Talk Africa, African Voices, U.S. Elections 2024. Statistics show that over 2.4 million African immigrants are living in America. This diverse diaspora community is becoming an increasingly critical constituency in U.S. elections. Diaspora voters are asserting both their economic and political power. They care deeply about issues such as immigration reform, health care, racial justice, and economic opportunity. As we inch closer to this all-important election in November, we will examine how the African diaspora's vote could help shape the future of America. Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump are battling for the White House. In 2020, Harris ran for president, but she dropped out. 4 years later, she is now the first woman of color in U.S. history to become a major party presidential nominee after President Biden decided not to run for election. Trump, whose bid for re-election failed in 2020, is again the top person on the Republican ticket. What are diaspora voters thinking? VOA's Philip Alexio sets the scene.
The U.S. presidential election shows a tight race, with each nominee leading in the polls in various categories and demographics. The black vote, including the country's expanding African diaspora, could be a factor as black voters remain overwhelmingly affiliated with the Democratic Party, according to the Pew Research Center. But Cameroonian-born American Pastor Daniel Puffuck thinks the black community's values don't always represent the political bloc they vote for.
It makes you feel that there is a kind of bipolar way of looking at life, because you cannot have certain set of values that maybe belong to one party, but when it comes to the voting booth, you vote against those values.
Assistant professor of political science Sambo Muzara from Zambia says politics in America today has taken a step back.
U.S. elections are a big thing in Africa, in Zambia, and I think the rest of the world. Setting the tone for democracy, I think, to the whole world is basically what this is about.
Ghanaian-born U.S. citizen Bubene Havi says when it comes to voting, her views tend to evolve.
My views have definitely been changing often. I'm not a consistent person firm on a specific party. I look for what is right based on the context of what we're dealing with in our current society.
Along with the economy, the dysfunctional immigration system is high on voter concerns. It's also an issue that affects non-citizens, like Rwandan Bengali Diakite, a student at JMU here on an F-1 visa. To stay in the U.S., he says, students have to get a job and worker authorization within 3 months of graduation.
And I feel like it's very tight on F1 students because it kind of doesn't give us enough time to be able to look for all those opportunities or even do the interview process, and understanding that we're in a new environment, so we need some time to cop up.
Chukwuneso Vincent Iwanage chairs the Maryland Governor's Commission on African Affairs. He points out that the African continent is home to 40% of the world's minerals.
So there's no reason why the continent, you know, should be considered poor.
Rather than exporting lithium ore mined in African countries, Iwanage says the continent should be building factories and making the batteries. He believes in creating economic opportunity over the focus on aid by other countries.
That should be where the next president should be looking to in relation to Africa.
Philip Alexio, VOA News, Washington.
To help us analyze the issues of the presidential election, we have with us three distinguished panelists. Kweku Nuama, a senior lecturer at the School of International Service at American University here in Washington. Philomena Desmond Ogugua, Vice President and founding member of the African Businesswoman Network, and Ambassador J. Peter Pham, former U.S. Special Envoy for the Sahel and also the Great Lakes region of Africa. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you for having us.
So now, we are talking about the diaspora. Diaspora, a word that comes from the Greeks, meaning to scatter, to sow, to disperse. We have been dispersed. We have been scattered to Africa, and we are here. Now that we are here, we actually get into the whole process of the American system, and we'll have this opportunity to be part of the system. And we get that gift, which is the vote. So now, armed with that gift, the vote, my first question to Ambassador Pham, how can the African diaspora critically, policy discussions, actually conduct policy discussions on immigration, trade, and foreign relations between the U.S. and Africa?
Well, first let me begin by thanking you and my sister and brother here for having me here as part of this discussion. It's a discussion addressing primarily the African diaspora, but in a way, as my great elder sister, Janetta Besh-Cole, the former director of the National Museum of African Art, always said, we are all part of the African diaspora. Some of us just left earlier than others along the path, but Africa is the mother of us all. So I'm very privileged to be here, and I thank you for having me. And my answer to your question is, how does the African diaspora engage? The same way every citizen should engage, informing themselves about the issues that matter to their communities and their families and their individual circumstances in life, but connecting those to the unique experience they have as citizens. Now, I feel a certain kinship to that, being myself a naturalized citizen who owes a great deal to this country, who's given me a great opportunity to not only have a life here, education, but also to serve it at some of the highest levels and work in Africa for it. So it's that same, it's the same answer for every citizen. But of course, Africa, you know, for those who are of the African diaspora more immediately, it tugs more directly, and they have an opportunity not only to inform themselves on policies that affect Africa, but also to be voices to candidates and others about the importance of that. And we can discuss the particulars. That's the lead-up piece gave us a few very good examples that we can delve into, and I look forward to doing so.
Philomena Desmond Ogugua, how might the African in the diaspora be a catalyst for economic development in Africa?
I thank VOA for having me, and I thank my fellow panelists for having me discuss this critical issue. Apart from the Business Women Network, I'm chair of the Virginia African Diaspora. We organize ourselves so that Africans in Virginia and in America in general can speak with one voice. If we don't speak with one voice, no matter what we do, we can't get what we want. There are 200 million African diasporas worldwide, and more than 2.5 million of those are in the United States of America. That's a critical mass. And the spending power of the African diaspora in America is estimated at over $1.7 trillion, which is an economic power. With that, I think we can change the economic landscape of our new home. We are the new Americas. And with that also, we can change the policies and the voting pattern in the United States if we can harness collectively our strength. When we work together, we are stronger. But when we start fractionating ourselves, we are weak. With that, we can help here economically, and we are helping. Statistics has it. And also in the continent. Over 50 billion was sent home from African diaspora in the America, United States, to Africa, which surpasses foreign direct investment, USAID aid, and even surpasses some countries' GDP. We can use that to start building the continent. Time has passed when the continent needed aid. It used to be Africa to the world. Now it's the world to Africa, because it's coming back to how God created it, the cradle of civilization. Every country originated from Africa, and it is coming back. It is now Africa to the world. As we continue, I will give some more statistics, because the African diaspora in America, they are everywhere, and we can help in the United States and in the continent. Thank you.
Professor Kweku Nuama, I'm curious, what does the U.S. election mean for U.S.-Africa relations? What are the continent's expectations, and will those expectations be fulfilled?
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks to VOA for organizing this forum. What does the election mean for Africans? As with any other election, it's a time for stock-taking and a time to look forward. And I think that at this juncture, Africans are trying to assess the relationship with the United States and to reevaluate where possible and to organize ourselves to table our demands. Africans get an agency, mm-hmm. and Africans expect things. If you look at the African press, for example, you'll see people talking about it's time for Africa to get respect in the international system. It's time for Africa to move from the periphery of American foreign policy into the core. We too deserve a special relationship with the United States. We are here. We contribute to the country's development. Africa is a big part of America's future. America needs Africa. Africa needs America too. And then there's speculation about what happens with each the candidates that we have running. And I think that we can look at former President Trump and what he did when he was president, and with Vice President Harris. We can look at the Biden agenda, and there's a question about how much of that she'll carry in her own administration. I think that, by and large, American foreign policy, there's a lot of continuity in it when it comes to Africa, but there might be changes here and there based on you know, the type of Congress that the president gets and the type of demands that come up. But I think Africans are very hopeful. They have specific needs, and the expectation is high. I don't think all of it will be met, but it's a good place to start. And I think that for especially those of us who are here, our responsibility is to vote and to also advocate for our continent. And I think that no matter who wins this election, Africa will continue to be an important part of America's foreign policy, and Africa will continue to have friends on both sides of the aisle, whether it's a Republican president or a Democratic president.
Wise words from our panelists. Now we turn to our audience, and basically we'd like to have a few questions, if you have, for the panelists. You can introduce yourself and ask the panelists whatever questions you feel like you would like to talk to. First, introduce yourself and address your question to the distinguished panelists.
Definitely. Yeah. Thanks so much, VOA, for organizing this effort, this event, and inviting Ethio Diaspora Hub here. I am Iyo Boldahanna. I came from Ethio Diaspora Hub, a platform dedicated to help immigrants to have information to make informed decision in their day-to-day life. So my question for the panelists is, you know, as a fellow African, for those who are new to this country, for those who don't understand the impact of election here in the big, you know, picture of Africa, what kind of message do you give? Why the reason they need to participate in voting in this election? That's my question for you guys. Thank you.
Who would like to take that?
Can you repeat your question, sir, please, and speak a little louder?
Sure. My question is, what message do you have for someone who is new to the country as an African, like immigrant coming here, who doesn't even see the impact of election being participating in this election as an African person here? Because obviously there are a lot of, you know, implication why we need to participate and, you know, heard our voice. But, you know, what kind of message do you have from experience for those newcomers?
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can I take it?
Go ahead for
Because this is about outreach, mobilization, and reach out to the African diaspora. You know, the African diaspora, you have the Gen Zs and the millennials. We're always a family unit. The message I have, especially if they are citizens, one, they'll make sure they're registered to vote. And even if they registered to vote many years ago, they should go and go to ivote.com to make sure they're still registered to vote. Because I handled like 2 cases last week. They participated in the primary. Now, in their different counties, they registered them. So it's good to tell all your friends in your different ethnic communities, let them check they are registered to vote. Participate in the political process. When you don't vote, the wrong people are voted in. So don't complain. You have to reach out. You have to participate. You have to, because this election is a test of democracy. And the immigrants, like you and I, I'm a naturalized citizen. From what you are reading in the press, if it is a fact, some people are planning to remove our citizenship and deport us. When we have been paying taxes, doing our social, corporate, and community responsibilities, and when some of those people also saying this are first or second generation Americans, including their children. So that's why it is essential, because our right to vote as a citizen is a right nobody can take from you.
If I could I definitely agree with my sister here that the importance of registering and voting.
Yes.
But also being informed on the issues.
Yes.
And not believing everything you hear. Now, with all due respect to my sister, I'd like to know who is saying removing the citizenship and deporting citizens. I think there's discussion of deporting those who are here illegally, but I've not heard a major candidate of either party talk about lifting citizenship from naturalized or other citizens. So let's not alarm people also unnecessarily.
I think I can talk to you off camera about that. You know, but because it is documented. But we have to vote on issues that affect the African diaspora. The issues that affect you is not the same that affects me. Yeah. Immigration is important to me. Education is important to me. Health is important to me. Work is important to me, especially immigration. You know, it's very, very important to me. Healthcare is important. Education is very, very important. Those are issues that affect my community. It's different from issues that affect your community. Our community will look at issues that affect them. Which of the two people running addresses our needs better?
Very good. Let's involve Professor Kweku here on the same subject.
I think that a vote is a terrible thing to waste. If you have it, use it wisely. And I think that you shouldn't let one of the parties take your vote for granted. And don't write anybody off. Examine issues and look at the records, see what they say they're going to do for Africa. But also you live here, so you also have to vote. You have to vote for here and also for home. And so you have to look at the parties, look at their platform. But more importantly, once they have power, you have to hold them accountable. And it's not just the presidency. It's throughout the system, the local government, hold people accountable. Because if you're not there, they take you for granted. And so don't just vote and go home. Just continue to stay engaged.
Moving forward, we have another gentleman here with your eyes.
My name is Melvin Foote, and I'm the president of the Constituency for Africa. My question has to do with the definition of diaspora. I've been working on Africa for more than 50 years, but my people were born in this country. I am a descendant of slavery. And so the African Americans, who by and large had lobbied the U.S. government to allow for more African immigrants to come to this country. You know, when we look back at Barack Obama and so forth. My question is, there's a real divide between African Americans and African immigrants on all issues concerning Africa. In the last election, many African immigrants voted for the Republican side, as opposed to supporting, say, Democratic candidates because they just felt they can get a better deal. They were not looking at issues of housing, civil rights, or any issues that Black Americans deal with. They were both voting their own interest. Mm-hmm. And so the question becomes one, how do we actually unify the African diaspora in a real kind of sense? You got African immigrants, you got African Americans, you got Afro-Caribbeans, Latinos, and so forth. All of them must be working together. But we're not going to get there if the African diaspora is actually divided as it is right now.
So, in unity, there's strength. What say you guys?
Mayor, you know, we've worked together for many years. Mayor was a Peace Corps. That's how he started in Africa, in Eritrea. Before he went to Africa, after that, he started Constituency for Africa. And he has done a lot to pump the name of Africa. He's the only African-American that is even talking about Africa, going there to see how we can listen. But when you say that we are voting the other side, I don't think so. It's vice versa. Also, African-Americans are. But the African-Americans are part of the diaspora. They are part of the 200 million diaspora that are out of Africa. And they are called the sixth region now at the AU. Yes, and it was lobbied. And I mean the African Americans. They are part of the African diaspora. I know that in this thing. I know that the first African that stepped foot in America in 1619 was at the Hampton, where they said the 22 odd men were taken from a ship going to Brazil. And this, and Mel knows the Tocco family that have traced their route to Angola. The African diaspora, like you said, is the divide. They are part of, I mean, the African Americans. In the narrative, when you talk of African diaspora in America, it includes the African Americans. It's what she said, some divide. When you look at PAC, the Presidential African Advisory Council, is not made up of only African diaspora. African Americans are there also. I think unity is strength. I think we have to work with our brothers that came here before us, not by their own making. Some of us came through JFK. Some came through Ellis Island. Some came by force. You know, but we are all in the same boat.
Philomena.
Says, thank you.
The question of the gentleman was, can the diaspora unite?
Yes.
In unity, their strength. What say you, Ambassador?
I say unity, but unity in essentials. But there is also room for plurality. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, this is where what you wisely said earlier, parties will take groups for granted if they're automatically voting one way or another, or if there's a lockstep unit. I think unity in essentials, but in non-essentials or incidentals, a great deal of liberty and diversity actually strengthens the community as a whole. Your voice is then listened to outside of your court. And this is why the swing states get all the attention, and states that are solidly blue or solidly red, for those watching from Africa, solidly Democratic or solidly Republican, don't get the advertising dollars. And Mel, you've worked in public relations for a long time, and you know that better than I do. Can give me lessons on it. So that this is where I think diversity also within the diaspora is a source of strength, mm-hmm. as long as the essentials are unity. And therefore, you get questions raised, and I think there will be differences. You know, for example, we brought up the question of immigration earlier. The young man in the setup video from JMU, where I taught for a number of years, raised the question of Mr. Diakite in the video. It spoke about his worrying about how quickly he needed to get a visa. One of the proposals that former President Trump has advanced, hasn't got much attention, is to give every graduate, every foreign student who graduates from an American college or university, an automatic green card to stay. That's been out there. It's not been talked about because false narratives, et cetera. But that's the proposal that's been out there. He's spoken about it a number of times. That actually addresses an issue that was raised by one of the voices we have. So I think that's the key, is the diversity encourages these. And I encourage that diversity and welcome it.
Professor Kwaku, I'd like to hear your point of view on this subject.
I think the diaspora is a big family, but we have different needs. And so you can distinguish between the established diaspora and the new diaspora. The mm-hmm. Africans that are arriving recently have different needs. It's more immediate. But you notice that even within that community, in the second generation, when their children become African Americans, they have different focus on mm-hmm. what they can get from the United States. So somebody that's arriving now is maybe worried about work, ability to bring their family here to start a business. But later on, when they established, they realized that we can really get ahead without understanding the struggles that African Americans, for example, are engaged in, because they fight for rights that we benefit from. And a lot of Africans are not always aware of that, that we are able to go to schools that African Americans couldn't go to. We are able to have certain jobs, live in certain neighborhoods because of the, we're benefiting from the fruits of their struggles. And that's not always immediately understandable within the new diaspora community. But as we establish here, we realize that we are in the same boat together, and you know how they are treated affects us as well. So we need to work on that. But we shouldn't vote on the basis of perceived grievances or received knowledge about what we can get from each party. I think we need to re-examine our relationships every year, every time you have a chance to vote. Take another look at the options available.
Ambassador Fab, anything to add on this? Or
I would also add, you know, the also within the diaspora, there are various countries, Africa's 54 countries, that people are coming from with different interests. And sometimes those countries are themselves in conflict in Africa, as sad as it may be. I spent my time in government trying to make peace in some of these foreign countries. But that also should impact the foreign policy stance. For example, the first gentleman who had a question was from Ethiopia. I would argue that the attitude of the current U.S. administration toward Ethiopia is not constructive. Kicking Ethiopia out of the African Growth and Opportunity Act, damaging trade, some hurtful things have been said about Ethiopia's legitimate need, in my view, for access to the sea. All those things are issues which affect our foreign policy issues. They're not domestic issues, but they're issues that an Ethiopian American could rightly bring into the political discussion this year.
We will take more questions after the break. It's time to take a short break. For our affiliates who are leaving us now, we thank you well. We'll return with more of our Town Hall special, African Voices, U.S. Elections 2024. Stay with us.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust.